warned what this subject is about, and it's going to be talking about, it's going to be sexual immorality. Now, if you don't want your children to hear it, I said I announced it before I preached, now's the time to get them out. I'm going to be delicate with it. I'm not saying I'm going to come out of all things, but you still might not want your children to hear things. But the fact of the matter is that, you know, that God has got this in his word, and chapters 5, 6 and 7 of 1 Corinthians all deal with this subject. So God sees fit to put it in his word, because there's obviously a problem, aren't there? And the problem that we have, and especially in nowadays, because the problem that you got back then, that's what all the Corinth culture was about. And today, that's all our culture is about. So let's pray. I want us to pray. And you might think, you might sit here and think, well, this don't apply to me. Every part of the word of God is profitable, the Bible says. So let's pray. Let's learn. Thank you, Lord. Father, we come before you tonight, my God, and we do thank you that we're able to come round your word. That, Lord, we know that your word's lessons for living, my Lord Jesus. That, Lord, this word is about you, what you want, my God. The purity that you want of your church, my Lord Jesus. And, Lord, as we go through this, Lord, let us understand, my Lord, not that it's about condemning people, my Lord Jesus. But, Lord, that they'd be restored and drawn to you, and that your church would be pure and holy as you want it. Let your name be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, and we go from verse 1. It says, it's actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and such sexual immorality that is not even named among the Gentiles. That a man has his father's wife, and you are puffed up, and you have not rather mourned that he who has done this deed might be taken away from you. For I indeed am absent in the body, but present in spirit, have already judged as though I were present him who has done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together, along with my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, deliver such a one to Satan for destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glorying is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Therefore, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you are truly unleavened. For indeed, Christ is our Passover, and was sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. You see, the thing about this scripture is, it's not condemning people that have done sin, that have done wrong. They've done wrong, it's got to be sorted out. What this is about, and we can't lose sight of this, is that God wants his church to be pure. Amen. That God wants his church to be holy. Not just as a body of believers, but as individual believers, we've got to be pure and holy. And I think, and listen, it's an old subject to talk about amongst travelling people. But the fact of the matter is, because what's happening in our culture, we've come to this, we can't talk about things. And yet, things that we'd say, that's only what Gorgia people do, it's amongst our culture now. There's always like gypsies, like we've got morals. We don't do all things like this, that's what they do. That's no longer the case. That is no longer the case. And look, it's going on. I know people who are like this. But the fact of the matter is that we've got to know about these things, because don't ever think that because we're Light and Life, because we're a gypsy church, that this won't affect us. This won't affect us. Adultery can kill an old church. A pastor can commit adultery in an old church. Believers can commit adultery, and they'll go and rip brothers and sisters away with them. Let's not be so foolish to think we're above it. We're not. We're not above it at all. And it starts off saying, it's actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and such sexual immorality that's not even named among the Gentiles, that man has his father's wife. Now, when Paul's writing this, he was in Ephesus. So it was 300 miles by boat Or if he had walked it, it would have been between 800 or 900 miles. So news has got back to Paul that if, when it says it's been reported, that means it's widely known. Everyone knows about this, what's going on. That's gone 300 miles. And listen, it ain't like today where you can put it on Facebook and the world reads it in seconds. This has travelled 300 miles to get to Paul. How many years have heard this on the way? And Corinth was such a moral place that it actually shocked them what was going on, what was going on in the church. You know, we've got to realise something. When we sin, whatever we do, it affects everyone in here. Whatever you do, it affects everyone in here. It affects your testimony and it affects my testimony. Because we're a body of Christ, we're one. And unsaved people love nothing better than to talk about what we do when we do wrong. See, and it's got back to Paul. You think this has travelled that fast, it's got back to him that he's writing this letter that when it talks about saying it's his father's wife, that's his stepmother. That's what he's talking about. Look, he's took his stepmother. When it talks about sexual immorality, that covers adultery, fornication, homosexuality, transgenders, watching things that you shouldn't. It covers all these things. It covers loads of things. And over the few weeks, there's different parts of 5, 6 and 7 of Corinthians that tackle these individually. But today, you see, we live in a Greek culture. We don't live in a British culture, a gypsy culture. The culture that we've inherited is Greek. Because in them days, sexual immorality was just the norm. Today, let's be honest, if they advertise anything on the telly, someone's half naked in it. Yeah, isn't it? Right? Listen, go and buy, if you could just go to the shop, go anywhere. Listen, when you sell, when you look at a bottle of perfume, when someone advertises on the telly, they ain't got some slob on it, have they? They ain't got a slob on it, and they think, because they want you to buy it, like it's someone that's chiselled out on it to buy it. That's what they get. Well, it's true, isn't it? Because what it does, because the idea is, the way Satan got the Corinth church, the Corinthians then, is how he tries today. It gets you in the flesh. This is the point, is he wants to get you in the flesh. And the trouble is, that was, to them that was just the norm. And today, everything's normal. You can just scroll through things on Facebook, TikTok, Instagram or whatever, and things are just there. In fact, there's so much around us, I'll bet we don't take notice of it. We don't take notice about what's going on. I'm not being, you're in Bluewater. The shops in Bluewater, when you walk past them, you've got to walk past with your head down. That's how wicked the world is, that it's in broad daylight now. Nothing's hidden up, nothing's hidden. But what we can't do is be partakers in it. We can't be a partaker of it. We've got to be holy. God's called us to be separate. We're in the world, but not of it. You see, the world promotes it. It promotes sexual immorality. It says, have as many partners as you want. It's all right to be gay. Watch what you want. It won't hurt you. All these ways lead you to destruction and to destroy you. That's what it's for. It's the destroyer. To get me and you in the flesh, and it destroys you. Destroys families. But what's God's ways teach? You see, the Bible teaches it's one man for one woman. For life. No fornication. If you're not married. Before marriage. And listen, we're not to watch what we want. We've got to take care for what we take in here. We've got to be careful what goes in. Because what we see always ends up there. It always goes into the heart. You see, we've got to guard our souls. Look, the enemy's crafty. These are schemes of the enemy. And he's pulled such a scheme in this day and age that we don't see it. We do not see this at all. All right, listen, if someone commits adultery, oh, we'll see that. We'll condemn that in a second. That's wrong. We condemn homosexuality. We'll say that's wrong. The Bible says that's wrong. But what about when things hit close to home? What about when they hit close to home? do we say they're wrong? Because I assume everyone's got a telly or a phone in here. Could be wrong, but, you know, listen, we've all got tellies and phones. What about what you watch on them? Do we really take notice what we watch on them? Now listen, I ain't going to pick on no one and say, because you might watch and you might not. But why would anyone want to watch Love Island? Why would anyone want to watch that? What is it about? Is it not just pure fornication? Is that not what it's about? Is it? And yet Christians sit there and put it on and have a gossip with one another. Would you invite all us back to watch it with you? Would you? Do you know why you wouldn't? Because you'd be ashamed. That's why you wouldn't. You'd be ashamed because we'd be sitting there with you and you'd be lashed to death because you're watching it. Ain't Jesus there with you? I'd rather be more lashed in front of the Lord than I would Jews. Is he not real? Is he not the saviour that we serve? Because what it is, because it's all around us so much, and we see people like that so much, influencers they call them there. When I was younger, we used to call them different things. Right? But now they're called influencers. And the fact is, they influence my children, and they influence your children. Because your children watch it, and what are they promoting? They're not promoting one man, they're not promoting marriage. They don't promote that. In fact, today, marriage ain't a thing. They want your children to go and live. Have hundreds of partners. That's what they're teaching your children. And don't be silly enough thinking, not my child. Not mine. Mine wouldn't do that. Listen, believe me, half a chance they would do it. Listen, we're not silly. They've all got phones. Every child's got a phone now. And they can work it better than us. You can get things on phones now where they can have apps to hide things. They can hide things and you wouldn't even know. I wouldn't even know. You know, and these people, you know, if they're at home, if your children are at home and seeing you watching things like it, what do you think they're going to grow up and watch? And they don't watch nothing better. It always goes to something worse. What we put into our children is what they end up being fed off when they're older. So we got to take serious. This is what we got to do. Listen, and the other one, I know I've mentioned it before. You had Game of Thrones and other programs like that. Where if you fast forward it, the episode's 20 minutes long. Because there's so much in it, it's a joke. But there's loads of programs like that. I mean, I was watching, there's an old film about years ago with Yul Brynner in it. If you don't know who Yul Brynner is, he was a gypsy man, dark with bald head, and he played Moses' brother in the... let's be honest, half of them you don't even know I'm on about. But there's a film out called Westworld. Westworld. And he was dressed in black, and he was like out the Magnificent Seven. And like, he was like a robot. And like, you're saying it. And there was like a big theme park. Everything, like, one bit was the Romans, one was the Cowboys, and all like this. And what it was all robots, but they turned in the park, they turned against the humans. It's only meant to shoot other robots, but then they turned. And it was such a good film, they brought a series out a couple of years ago. And I thought, I couldn't wait to watch it. I was saying to myself, I can't wait to watch this, only because of Yul Brynner. Right? I thought, yeah. And it had him in it, Ed Harris. He was in it. And I thought, right, watch this. 10 minutes in the hit. And there it is. I said, what's that? That's ruined it. Switched it straight off. And I absolutely gutted over it. Because there's no need for it to be nothing. But what we do now, we got numb to things. Because listen, we sit there and fast forward it. Yeah, come on. Oh, right there. Fast forward. Ain't it off yet? Oh, mate, still on. It's still on. Don't we understand that these things are going in your mind? Don't you still, whatever you see, whatever me and you see and get a glimpse of, whether it's 10 seconds or a minute, it's already in there. Don't you understand that? It's already gone in. You can get apps today which tells you if there's anything in the film, so you ain't going to watch it. But the trouble is, we'd rather play Russian roulette with the remote control to see if we miss it. Why? You wouldn't do that if any of us were there. would you? In fact, you won't even have it on. Because you'd be alleging, think, oh, please, I'll paper the ring, this is done. Well, we can't be, listen, if we can't have things on in one another, we shouldn't be watching it ourselves, should we? Is that wrong, right? We shouldn't watch it. Not being like a legalistic man, but it's about the purity of the heart. It's about Christ. Whether you watch it on your own or not, whether you're going on watching things you're not meant to be watching, Christ is there with you, and you're making him a partaker in what you're watching. He's a partaker in it. What you're watching, what I'm watching, Jesus Christ is watching. And that is more frightening than me. I ain't got no bother. You just come home and watch telly with me. I will not be ledged half as much as what I would be in front of Jesus Christ. When he's the one that never leaves or forsakes us, that he's there. And David himself said, if I make my bed in the grave, you're there. And yet we're so happy and we don't take notice of nothing that we're willing to watch all that filth, that we're letting it go into our minds, that goes straight into the heart. Why give Satan a stronghold? Don't we understand that we're giving Satan a ground in our life? That it's a scheme. What is the difference between this? What's the difference between sexual immorality and watching that and Harry Potter and Halloween? What's the difference? It's the same author. They're both satanic. The difference is this. Halloween's here and it's in your face. But all that filth, we can keep that secret. But it's the same author. It's Satan's attack. And you know what he's done? And he's done a good job of it. He's made the church think they don't exist. They don't exist amongst us. We can talk it away all we want. I can make myself justified in what I watch. I make myself justified in what I want. But when it comes when I stand before Jesus Christ, my justification means nothing. The Bible says that be holy for I am holy. That's what God did. He says, I want truth on the inward parts. But the trouble is, we forgot this, that me and you, we're temples of the Holy Spirit. That's what we are. In fact, in the next chapter, Paul goes on to say, know you not that you're temple of the Holy Spirit? What are you bringing to the temple? If the Holy Spirit is dwelling in the heart, what sacrifices are you bringing there? Goes in here, Holy Spirit's here. Whatever we think goes there. What are we bringing there for him? Oh, is it the holy life that God craves for us and wants? Or is it filth and rubbish? Because God wants holiness. And it ain't an attack on no one. Don't get me wrong, it's ain't an attack. But listen, it's something that we need to be awoken to. Because we're going to be in a shock one day when we stand before him. And all this gets talked about. Isn't it frightening that we've got to stand before an holy God? And if we've got, he looks at this, he knows we was going to do it before we've done it. But the fact is, we've got to master the flesh. We've got to be able to be strong enough in the spirit. And listen, it's all it does is the enemy tries to entice us and entice us and entice us with these things. We've got to be strong enough in the spirit and go, no. We've got to be strong enough in the Holy Spirit. But the trouble is, after time, it's not even a battle. We just do it. We just do it. And it's sad. Because what it does, when we watch all these things, before we commit a sin, it's already been done in the mind. Whatever you do in the sin, it's already been done in the mind. And us, you're flicking through and it catches glimpses of things and that takes root. Whether we like it or not, these things take root. And you know why that's true? Because after you sin it, you'll be thinking about it. It takes root. You walk about the day and you'll be thinking about it. And listen, we've got to be careful. We've got to be careful in what we watch. You see, we can't be comfortable with all sin because, listen, it will destroy us. Ultimately, a little bit of sin, a little bit more. It leads to death, the Bible says. That sin leads to death. And it, listen, these things are. And you've got to ask yourselves, and I'll say this. I'll tell you this first. There's a brother I know, a brother, he's a pastor of another church. He won't watch nothing above PG. And when he told me that, God forgive me, I laughed right in the man's face. Right? Right? I thought, please, ark at him. I thought, no, that's probably right. Because you can't even put Peppa Pig on. Because there's all stuff in it. Children's programs. You can't even put BBC on there because of people that's reading stories to your children. And I thought, you know what? I've been thinking about it this last week and thought, he's got a good point. And he said, because, and one of the reasons was because of his children. He says, I sit and watch things with my children. I want to make sure there's nothing I don't want them to see. But as we go on, because this part we're going to be hitting about is adultery. And this ain't about condemning the brother or sister that's done this. The whole point from start to finish is to restore the Christ. Amen. That's the whole point of it. It's not just to have a witch hunt and attack them, but it's to restore them. Because Christ is merciful, he is full of grace, but he's holy and just. And we're going to go through how Paul said we must deal with it. You see, pardon me. This is talking to Christians. This is not talking about non-Christians. This is all dealt before Christ when you're non-Christian. If you both get saved and you're once in adultery, you're not asked to leave because now you're a new creation. But if you're a believer, two believers, or one believer, you commit adultery, then this is what the Bible's talking about. And if you have run off, in our culture, you are considered married. In our culture, you're considered married. Don't mean a bit of paper. Now, Adam and Eve never signed a bit of paper. But you went and husbands took yourself a wife and you're living together, that is marriage. And we hold you as married. But you see, in verse 2 it says, and you are puffed up and have not rather mourned that he who has done this deed might be taken away from you. You see, the trouble what was happening here, that they were so puffed up, that means that they was proud. They was not worried about what was going on. Right? There's like they've this man in adultery amongst them. What motor is it? A white Mercedes. That's done. Right, the Corinthian church, instead of mourning, when it says they should have mourned these people that was in sin, that means it should have been to them like someone's died. That's how serious Paul's saying about this. If someone's in adultery, he says the church should be in mourning over it. We should be in such a pain that it affects every one of us that we should be, like someone's died with us, that we should be so sick that this is happening amongst us. But the Corinthian church were treating them like normal. There was only in adultery amongst them, and the Corinthian church were just going, yeah, they're all right, one of us. You know, people in adultery, the Bible says they will not inherit the kingdom of God. They're not one of us. When someone's in adultery, they're not. We can't treat them like that, and we're going to go through it. But the thing was, right, because they weren't dealing with it, they was being a partaker in it. You know, giving the okay to sin, giving the okay to this adultery, they was being a partaker in it. They was just letting them sin more, weren't they? And James says, therefore to him who knows to do good and does not do it, it is sin. You see, if a church don't deal with adultery when it comes into a church, and we know what to do, if we don't deal with it, one, it's cowardly. It's a coward's way out, not dealing with it and giving the okay. Two, how can we love the person? And three, we're a partaker with it. That's why when we've had people in here that's come in, what's happened in here? We've gone to them, told them that it's wrong. We've given them time to come to church so you can come for a while. Come under the sound of the word to repent. We don't consider you part of the church. You're not a brother or sister in the Lord. You're not to fellowship with no one. And no WhatsApp groups or things like that. You can have no part in church activities whatsoever. Because they're in adultery. Because the point is they've got to live such a life that where they're separated from Christ and the things of Christ, they should come to their senses like the prodigal son and repent and put themselves right with Christ. That's what should happen. You see, that's what we should do. And listen, don't get me wrong. I've said that like it was nothing to say. Like being able to go to someone and say that, like it was the easiest thing in the world. It was the hardest thing in the world. It was heartbreaking. I cried, I had to go and do it, and I cried my eyes out when I got home. Slept crying. It's heartbreaking to do that. To say to someone, we don't consider you part of the fellowship. You can't fellowship with us because of the sin that you're in. Because of the adultery. That's not a nice thing to tell someone, is it? But how can I say I love them? Or that we love them if we're not willing to tell them? How can we say that? It's hypocrisy if we don't. And it's heartbreaking. You see, we can't be like the Korean church and being proud and like, you know, like we, you know, because we got a good church, they had a good, they had like all the gifts of the Holy Spirit there. You heard a good word, they had all that. And they're all proud of it, but yet they let sin go on like nothing. We can't do that, brothers and sisters. We can't allow that to go on. You know, like we've had it in here this year. And it was told that they can't fellowship here no more. And the church was told. It's not an easy thing. It's heartbreaking. It's horrible. But listen, the point is that they're not to be considered like your brother or sister. In fact, it says, remove them, take them away. Put them out of the church. That was the point of it, because it was to make them see that they need Christ, that they've got to repent. That they should be looking at their life and thinking, look at the state I'm in. I've got to repent. But keeping them in church, what favours are we doing them? You're leading them down a false road of salvation. You're guilty as putting them in hell as they're putting themselves here for not telling them. But Paul said in verse 3, he says, for I indeed, as absent in the body but present in spirit, have already judged as though I was present him who has done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we are gathered together, along with my spirit, with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of his flesh, that in his spirit he may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Now that word there, gathered to, when the body's gathered together, it talks about when you come together. The word there is synagogue, where we get the word, like the Jewish word for synagogue, right? So what it was, when the church come together, Paul's saying, the church has all come together. When you make the judgment on this man to remove him, he says, I've already made my judgment. I'm there in spirit. Now, he's not saying he's like Christ in that. But what he's saying is, this is the biblical judgment that's got to be made. And I'm there with you doing it. It's if I'm there myself. Right? And he's saying that. He's like, you're all getting together. And he says that, and such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. And what that means is, listen, excommunicating. Now, that don't mean, it's not on about killing his body. It's talking about the flesh. When the Bible talks about the flesh, it talks about the flesh that wars with the flesh, that wars with the Holy Spirit, that wars with the Spirit inside us, the battle going on. So now I'm handing over to them and let Satan destroy the flesh of him. Excommunicate him, hand him over. And that means there's no spiritual protection from the Lord for him or her. There's nothing like that there. There's no protection from the church. And he won't be able to resist the devil. He won't be able to resist the attacks of the devil. So they've just been put out in the world. Hand him over. Let Satan have the way there. Let Satan destroy that flesh, that that man or woman will come to repentance and be restored to Jesus Christ. That was the goal. Paul's goal weren't hand him over to Satan, let him get on and chuck him out. No, it was look, hand him over. Let Satan torment him, do whatever he's got to do. So that man will repent and come back to Christ. Because in Paul's heart, it was the restoration of the man or woman. It's no good just condemning people. All right, listen, we can't be tolerant of sin. We can't be tolerant of it. But we've got to have a love for one another. Listen, when someone leaves this church, we ought to notice, shouldn't we? We ought to notice. It should hurt us a bit, shouldn't it, that someone's gone? But these people have got around, and it seems harsh from Paul, doesn't it? It's been, to Paul to say this, this seems very harsh. But Paul's going to go on talking in a minute about purity. The reason why. What God wants. You know, and it's in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, this person was restored to fellowship. They repented and restored to fellowship. Which is good, thank the Lord. But how many have been and gone that never repented? That never repented. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 4 to 11. And listen, it's an hard part on all of us. Because when you see that person, when you're outside, you want to get hold of them, go, God bless you, brother. God bless you, sister. You want to share all the things of Christ with them. But we can't. They're not your brother or sister. They've got to be classed as... In fact, when Matthew talks about dealing with judgment in the church, he says, treat them like a tax collector or a heathen. Right? We can tell them to repent, tell them they need the Lord. Listen, if they're broke down the side of the road, help them. Talk to them, but they're not your brother or sister in Christ. They're going to hell. Adultery is taking them to hell. Your brother and sisters in Christ go to heaven. They don't go to hell. And that's the old point. It was the restoration of someone. And all this, when you get through all these chapters, the aim is restoration. Amen. Restore that person. God wants all people to be saved, doesn't he? And listen, you might be sitting here, I might be standing here thinking, well, it's never going to affect me. Listen, Peter thought that, didn't he? Listen, they'd all leave you, Lord. They'd all go. If all them go, I won't. Don't ever think we're above it, brothers or sisters. Don't ever think we're above the schemes of the enemy, that he can't tempt us into somewhere we don't want to be. God, make sure every day you're prayed up, led by the Spirit, and strong enough to fight the attacks. And don't put yourself in situations where you shouldn't be. But now Paul's going to go on. Talking about purity, he says, verse 6, your glorying is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven, leaven's the whole lump, therefore purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you are truly unleavened. For indeed Christ is our Passover and was sacrificed for us. See, Paul's rebuking them there. Your glorying in this is not good. You giving the okay is not good. And when he talks about a little leaven, leaven's the whole lump. Leaven in the picture of the Bible is sin. It puffs up. It goes for unleavened bread. What they used to do in them times, when they used to do a batch of bread, they had a little bit of yeast. What they do, they take a minute bit, chuck it in a massive bowl, and that dear little bit of yeast would absolutely puff the rest of the dough up, puff it right up so they've got loaves of bread. That's what it used to do. But Paul's talking about the feast of unleavened bread. And at the start of that feast, what they'd done, they used to have to clear the leaven out of the house. All the puffed up bread they had to clear out, all the yeast. So they'd get the children, they'd hunt up and down the house, and they'd find all the leaven. And they'd get hold of it, and they'd chuck it out and throw it. It'd leave the hung. It'd be gone. So all what would be left was unleavened bread. What we take on a Sunday is unleavened. It's thin, it's not got dough in it, it's not puffed up. And the point was to purge out the old leaven. A little leaven leavens the old up. So what he's saying is, that little bit of sin, what we're giving the okay to, that bit of adultery that you're giving the okay to, is going to affect all of yous soon. It'll go through yous. It's going to affect yous. That's what sin does. And you might think, how? Listen, if someone in adult is left in a church, all of a sudden, because they've been there for so long, you think, oh, they're my brother and sister in Christ. They're part of the church. Because it's familiar. You start fellowshipping with them, and like a disease, it just spread through the complete body. And the longer it goes on and left, the more casualties that there'll be. That's what happens. That's why Paul used the word purge it. What he's saying is they've got to rip it out and get rid of it. That's what he's saying. Purge it. It's such an hard, strong word to make sure it's gone from among you. It shouldn't be among you. That's what he's saying. Because he says there, look, he says, since you are, and that you may be a new lump. So what he's saying is this person that's committing all this, doing all this adultery, and committing adultery, so look, get them from you. Chuck them out. Now you're going to be a new lump and you can start again. Now that, right, you've got to start again now. All this carrying on's happened, it's affected people. That's gone. Now we start again. That's what Paul's saying. And it's not nice. It's not an easy thing to do. But for purity of us, brothers and sisters, it's got to be done. Because God wants a holy church, a righteous church, that Christ is preparing us to when we go and meet him, these things have got to be done. And it's, like I say, it's not easy, but do we want to be pure for Christ? It's hard to... I can control to a certain extent what goes on in my life. I can't control what goes on the outside of my life. But I can control who I fellowship with. I can control that. Same as control what I watch, what I say. I can control that. Listen, and it's hard because when you see that person, you're up because you're a Christian, you love them. But we've got to be holy. We can't be a testimony if sin's in the camp, can we? You see, it puts me in mind of, in the Old Testament, Potiphar's wife, Joseph. He said, her husband went to work, and every day, he says she wanted Joseph. And every day she'd say things in her jail. He'd get out quick. And one day she tried to grab hold of him. And he says he runned. He had hold of his cloth, like cloth. She ripped a bit of his garment off and he runned. When he came back, she says, this man attacked me. She said, and they put him in prison. But Joseph stood for what was pure, what God wanted. He'd flee from it. In fact, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6, flee from sexual immorality. That's what it says, flee from it. That means run. And that is exactly what Joseph did. He ran from it. There's consequences for him for standing strong in the Lord, but he'd done what was pure and holy, what God wanted. Not like what David did. When all the men went to war, and David stayed back and there was only women in the town. And he walked out and he took Bathsheba and committed adultery. And the result was that the baby of that died. That was the judgment. It brings death. You see, that sexual immorality will bring you death. That's what it brings. And David's house, after he'd done that, was never the same. That went straight on for his family forever. It never left him. In fact, when it... who was the high priest at the time? It was grandfather, wasn't it? Who told Absalom what to go and do. He still attacked him later on in life. Sin leaves scars, brothers and sisters. Especially that type of sin. I know people that's committed adultery years and years and years ago, and it's as if they'd done it yesterday because it stuck so much. It's serious. No one's above it. No one's above it. Listen, surely we'd rather be like Joseph and flee and run. Don't care if you get talked about rotten. Don't care for what rumours spread about you. But at least you know in your conscience, when you stand before the Lord, you can stand righteous, pure and holy. And know you've done the right thing. Don't be a David. Don't be a David and fall into that trap. David was where he shouldn't be. He should have been out with the men at the war. That's where David should have been. That's the consequences of it. Because Paul uses this, and this is what we've got to think of, that Christ is our Passover that was sacrificed for us. So what he's saying is, he's used unleavened bread. Now, the start of the week, the first Sabbath was the Passover. Then you had 8 days of unleavened bread from that. Sabbath to Sabbath, had Passover, unleavened bread, clean out the house. That's what that was. But Christ is our Passover, the Passover lamb. Right? What he's saying there, look, clean out the old leaven, get rid of the rope, get rid of that out of your church, get rid of that out of your life. Because we've got to stand before our Passover lamb. We've got to be clean. The week of Passover, now they had to be clean. And what he's saying is, we're standing before the sacrificed lamb, Christ. Don't think for one second that if you're in that type of sin, you can keep it hidden. The Bible says whatever's done in the darkness, God will bring into the light. And God will give you ample opportunity to repent of it, to put it right. And if you don't, it'll bring it out in the light. Why? Because your sin is going to affect this church. And God will bring it to light. It does affect the church. It will shake the church. But if we stood upon Christ, we'll weather the storm. We'll weather the storm. And thank the Lord. Listen, this is what I thank the Lord is this. Because I was reading this the other day. I thank God that he sees us with no leaven in us. That there's no sin. Because when he sees us, he sees the sacrifice of his son. That his blood was paid for us. That he's saying, well, look, get rid of all that. And let God see that. Get rid of the rubbish and the sin, the leaven, and let God see the sacrifice of his son in your life. Let him see that. That's what matters. Because Paul said, he said, look, he's saying, live it. The Corinthian church was so corrupt. In fact, I finished studying 2 Corinthians 12 yesterday. One more chapter left. And he said, I'm going to come to yous. And there's still people that's not committed, that's still not repented of fornication. They're still going on. And he's got to go at them again. But Paul said, look, listen, we've got to do this. He says, don't keep it with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and with truth. You see, he don't wickedness or evilness around to live that way. He don't want us to, that's what it is. Ultimately, that's what it's down to. Is evilness and wickedness. But Paul says, listen, we got to be sincere and true. The word sincerity means this. In Roman times, when they used to make like vases and things, to test it, they used to hold it up to the light to see if there was any defects in it. And if there was, there'd always be wax. And that's what the word sincere means, without wax. So what he's saying is that that's what we got to be. There should be we should be held up to the light, and there should be no defects, no cracks going through the vase. There shouldn't be that there. We should be without wax and truth. That's what Paul is saying. That's what we got to be. He starts off, you're puffed up, and he ends the passage with, be unleavened, be done puffed up. He's told him a way how to deal with adultery going through the church. He starts, look, you're glorying it. This is what's happening. Once that leaven removed, now you're where God wants the church to be at. That's where God wants you to be at. And listen, brothers and sisters, it's hard. It's a very hard thing to talk about. But we have to go through these things. One, because they're in the Word of God. And let's be honest, if we weren't going through 1 Corinthians, do you think you'd have heard this ever preached in our churches? Never. But we have to tackle things. Because remember this, before we're a gypsy culture, we're a Christian culture first. That's what we are first. And mine and your life's job is this, that is to please our Saviour, spiritually and physically. We've got to please him. Because ultimately, that's who our Christianity is about. How can I come to this place? Big filth going on in my life, watching filth that I shouldn't, and raise my hands and worship the Lord. That's what the Corinthian church was doing. And not putting it right. Put sin right before the Lord reveals it. Now, a church that deals with sin, may not be popular, but it's true to the Lord. Amen. Let's pray.